Yeah, a couple people. You guys are really quiet this morning. It's okay to liven up. God is good. Life is good. Amen. Are you okay today? All right. So, I just want to pick up part of the story here in Luke chapter 2, verse 9. I think we got it. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, saying, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased." And so, I don't know about you. Back then they didn't have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. But I imagine the headlines, you know. Bright light seen in the sky. Strange noise heard out with the ranchers, you know. End of the world coming soon. Or the National Enquirer or fake news would have had all kinds of stuff splattered all there. You know, end of the world is coming. Whatever. Israel tried out a new bomb. There would have been a lot of confusion, a lot of uproar, and a lot of what is happening. And so this whole scene is going on as part of the message. God is saying, wake up, people. The Messiah is here. The good news is here. The good news has arrived. And we don't have time to go into it all today, but it's amazing when you look at this Christmas story, how you realize that God is in control. And God has a hand and a plan in our lives, just like he had a hand in Jesus coming the way he did. And so it was prophesied hundreds of years before how Jesus would come, where he would be born, in a stable. And we see in this story that just how God uses different people, different things in our life and in our world to speak to us. Amen? Do you know that God's talking to you all the time? And so I find this interesting that if you look at the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth and how John the Baptist was foretold, there had not been the gift of prophecy being used in about 400 years, all right? And then all of a sudden, as Jesus is coming, there's an explosion of the gifts, all right? There's a lot of prophecy. There's a lot of dreams and visions. There's a lot of angels getting involved. And it's ushering in the new covenant and the new kingdom that we are be able to be a part of. And it's something that we get to walk in and expect and experience in our life. And to see that if God had his hand and all those little details that guess what he's doing in our life today? We might not see it. We might not realize it. It's hard to believe that at just the right time, an angel came and promised Mary, all right, a baby. It had to be before she was married because she had to be a virgin. And so at probably 13, 14 years old, according to their custom back in the day, they got married a lot younger. They began this betrothal process that Mary would have been going through. So she was engaged to Joseph. And in that engagement was the start of a covenant. Now, we look at marriage a lot different in our culture today, where we have the big day, where we come, we sign the paper, and we have the ceremony, and you're married. And in Middle Eastern times, it was viewed, and when you read the Bible, marriage is to be viewed as a covenant, where you give your life, you give yourself completely to that other person, and they give themselves completely to you. And that covenant is good till death. There's nothing that can break it. And if you actually decide to go outside of that covenant, your own family will hunt you and kill you. They take it seriously. It's your word, and it's what you live by. It's not a joke. And so Mary, saying yes to the angel came to Mary and said, "You're going to have a baby." And Mary, by saying, "May it be as you say, Lord," accepted the risk that Joseph could totally reject her, could totally have her stoned, killed, and thrown out as a prostitute on the street if he wanted. And yet she said, "I'll do it." And in that moment, you see all these things start to come together. They didn't live in Bethlehem. They didn't. They weren't prepared for all this. And yet God uses the government to cause a census, to bring people in to Bethlehem at just the right time when she's 9 months pregnant to have this baby, to fulfill prophecy. She was 9 months pregnant, so she rode a donkey. Again, fulfilling prophecy. And I don't have time to go into all of it, but if you read through the story, it's phenomenal how everything lines up. even to the wise men that came. They say that those wise men were descendants of Daniel, who had been the head. They called him the head magi back in Daniel's time. And he would have led these people, and there would have been prophetic words about even how the Messiah would come. They likely would have known the time frame based on what Daniel had taught them. And so that's why these men, and again, God used nature. There's a star in the sky. And God uses different things all through this story to get our attention to say, I'm here. Will you listen to me? I'm here. I have a message for you. And so God uses angels. God uses dreams. You know, in the Bible, the Bible doesn't systematically lay out this is how dreams work and how they happen, but the Bible endorses them in that we see it over and over and over again. God speaks to us through dreams. Amen? And so sometimes God is going to speak to you through dreams. Sometimes he'll use angels. Sometimes, you know, we see through Anna and through Simeon that he uses the prophetic to announce beforehand, to give you ideas, to give you an understanding of what God is saying and what he's about to do. Simeon said, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel. Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him, their son. And so, again, there wasn't social media to say, hey, did you hear what happened? So-and-so and so-and-so. But the signs of the times began to point to what was going on. And so God used all that. He spoke through the Holy Spirit. He used nature. He used a star. I don't know if you like to hunt or you like to hike or you like to ski, whatever it might be. When you get outside, I don't know about you, but I've had so many times where I just felt like God spoke to me through just being out in the peace, the quiet. I've been at the top of a mountain going skiing, and you just pause for a minute and look at the view, and you're just like, man, God, you are awesome. You know, there's nothing like that. Just the view, seeing God's creation. You know, he's not boring, and he's not uncreative to be able to build that, to be able to make that. And it's the same thing. I go and I sit in a tree stand watching animals walk by, and I love it. And there's something in that peace and in that quiet that I relate and I connect with God in. And God uses nature. God used a star. We don't know exactly how, you know, when exactly the star showed up, but those wise men, those magi, and like, you know, in Sunday school, we have often seen the picture of three. That's not in there. That's the other thing. When you read the Bible and you read what Sunday school books have often taught us, we've grown up with, they're a little different a lot of times. So read it carefully and see the details that are in there. But there likely was an entire entourage. Okay, they brought major gifts, not just like, you know, wherever that little bottle of oil is. They brought lots of it. They brought expensive gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. Likely enough that Joseph and Mary were able to survive off the money from that for the several years when they fled to Egypt and all that kind of stuff. God brought value. He brought honor to the new king. Amen? Does that make sense? I'm trying to go fast here because I want to get done. But there's something about the way that God will use everything around us to speak to us, and we need to learn to pay attention because he's talking to us today. And that's really what I want to get across to you this morning, is that he'll use the government, even though we might like it sometimes, we might not like what they're doing or saying, but he will use them to get our attention. He will use them to speak to us. If God can use the government to cause a census, he can use the government today to shift things in our culture, to get people worked up or whatever it might be, to the point where we may call on him, right? He will do what he has to do. God appoints governments. We might not like them, but that's just how it is. God uses worship. You know, Zechariah, the son of, or the father of John, he was a priest, and they say that the priests took turns. There was many priests. They took turns at doing the sacrifices and performing the acts of worship. And only one part of the year would they actually go into the Holy of Holies and anoint the incense or burn the incense and light the candles and things like that. And so as a priest, you maybe got to do that one time in your life often, where you would get to go right into the actual Holy of Holies. It was an amazing opportunity, an amazing honor at that time of your life to be able to go in there and do that. And here was Zechariah at that time, when he meets the angel. God knows how to line things up in your life at just the right time for you to break through, to speak into a situation that you're facing, to speak into a struggle. Maybe he's given you a promise that you've been waiting for. And sometimes it's just pressing in and waiting and going through what he's put in front of you to do, whether it's checking cows or whether it's doing your job, whatever it is, loving your wife, loving your kids. And it's in the right moment that he's going to bring that breakthrough. He's going to show up and say, here's my answer. Amen? You guys with me? Through his word. God speaks to us through his word. I don't know about you, but many times I open a verse that I've read 300 times before, and for whatever reason that day, it blows up in my face, and I'm like, wow, why did I not see this before? And God speaks to whatever situation I'm facing in that moment. It's because his word is living and active. And so it's more than just memorizing some scripture that's on a page, but it's actually inviting the Holy Spirit to bring it alive, to speak to us. We have the Holy Spirit and we have truth. We have that rhema word that actually comes alive in us. This, the angels told the shepherds, this shall be a sign to you. You will find a baby. All of God's words are contained in him. They were then and they are still. And he fulfilled his promise in Jesus, and he would forever listen to his mother's advice, and we should too. In John chapter 2, he says, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Whatever God's, mama knows best, right? But seriously, this morning, whatever God says to you, do it. And life will go a lot better for you. So I want to encourage you. I really hope that over the Christmas season that you take some time, read the Christmas story. Pray about it. Think about it. Think about how it applies to you. That if God can bring all of these things together for his son, and who are we? His children. He loves us. And do you think that he can't work everything out for you? Do you think that he can, at just the right time, bring breakthrough, bring provision, bring healing, bring the right person to be your spouse, open the door for having children, open the door for a better job, whatever that might be? He'll do it at just the right time, for such a time as this. Amen? So I want to finish with this. I was struggling, actually, with what to say this morning, and I've learned that sometimes you have the most random thoughts, and you can ignore them, or you can recognize that that thought was not for me. And the other day, I was taking my shirt off to hang up in the closet. I was not praying, not doing anything religious or spiritual or anything. I was changing. And I was hanging my shirt up, and I just had this random thought. What do you need saved from? And I just, all of a sudden, I was like, wait a second. Okay, Lord, what are you trying to say? And I've been thinking about that, and what that means. And many of us, in our culture especially, we feel, do we need a Savior? A lot of us feel like, I don't need saved from anything. I can make it on my own. I can get a good job. I can find a good spouse. I can have my kids. I can work hard. And if I work hard, it's going to pay off because of we're blessed because of the country we live in, that if you work hard, generally, it pays off. And in the end, you have a fat bank account. You can have some toys, a nice house. Do what you need to do and retire. And then do whatever you want to do, right? That's the dream. And we need to understand that there is more to it. And the Jews had Jesus pegged, or the Messiah pegged, to be a certain person, to look a certain way, to act a certain way. And they were in need of a savior in the sense that they thought they needed a military or a political savior because Rome at the time was oppressing them. And so they, in their mind, they said the Messiah is going to look like this, he's going to come like this, and he's going to behave like this. And Jesus came as a baby, and from places like Nazareth, which in their books was like being from Maple Creek, pretty much middle of nowhere, all right? Nothing special in their mind. And yet, here is this man walking amongst them, the living word of God, the Savior, and they couldn't see him. They couldn't see him. They didn't recognize him for who he was. In fact, he ticked them off because he flew in the face of their religious ideas and beliefs. And I want to challenge you this morning that we better be careful that we don't put Jesus in a box in our life. We might even wrap it nicely with a bow and put it under the tree and say, Jesus, you're over there. On Sunday morning, I'll open you up and talk to you. And the rest of the week, back under the tree. We kid about that, but are you connecting with him? Is he real to you? You know, church is good. There's community. Like, if you just take relationship with God out of it, coming together is great because you have friends, you have community. Christianity, as if you call it a religion, all right, is good in the morals, in the virtues that it's built on, to love your neighbor, to take care of the poor. That's all great. But if Jesus is not the center and the middle of everything that we do and everything and engaged in all of that, we have nothing. It's empty. It's religion. And we are no different than the Jews who were blind to Jesus walking with them saying, here I am. The one you've been waiting for years and years and years. It's been prophesied. The angels were here. It's been sung about. It's been talked about. And yet they couldn't see him. So what are you waiting for? What do you need saved from? And a lot of times we look on the physical outside us, the circumstances we face, and just like the Jews did, they saw the Romans. They saw military oppression and political oppression. A lot of us, we look on the outside and we say, well, I need a better job. I need a better wife. I need a whatever. I need, because of what's facing me. I have sickness that I can't break free from. And we think about all that, but we forget to look in here and understand that Jesus said he came in John chapter 16, he came that we might have peace. Do you have peace this morning? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And, you know, when you read the story of Jesus coming, one thing that really sticks out to me is that when people encountered Jesus, there was great joy. Amen? There's something about, even when he was a baby, seeing and realizing who he was that brought incredible joy. And the response was worship. And that should be our response too. There should be a natural response that when we connect with Jesus throughout the week, that it brings joy. And you can read this scripture and understand that we will face stuff in this earth. In this world, there's no way that it's just a smooth cakewalk, but we can have peace in it. That's what Jesus came to do, to give us strength, to give us peace, to give us hope, to bring joy. That no matter what is going on right here in front of us, inside, we're okay. Amen? And that's only possible through having a personal relationship with Jesus. It's not possible just by memorizing a bunch of scripture. It's not possible by going to church every Sunday. It's not possible by being a good person. It's possible by knowing him as your personal Savior. That is the message this morning. That is the message of Christmas. Do you know him? So I'm going to invite the worship team to come. I love the way the message puts this verse. It says, Jesus answered them, do you finally believe? In fact, you're about to make a run for it, saving your own skins and abandoning me. But I'm not abandoned. The Father is with me. And I've told you all this so that trusting me, you'll be unshakable and assured deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I've conquered the world. And I just feel this morning that that's a message for some of us, that we're struggling, we're up against stuff that maybe we feel is totally out of our control. We feel that maybe there's no hope. Maybe this morning you have no peace. Maybe you have not had joy in a long, long time. And I want to tell you that the only way you're going to find that is by inviting Jesus to have a personal relationship with him. It's not about religion, you guys. It's not about tradition. It's about knowing him and knowing his voice. Being able to recognize those thoughts when God drops them in your heart. Being able to see when there's a star in the sky or whatever it might be that he is trying to speak to you. And be able to understand what he's saying. Be able to walk with him and know him as your friend. It says in John 1:11, he came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth, resulting with human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. The Bible refers to people who do not know Jesus personally as being lost. And the good news is that today, that can change. Today, you can go from being lost to found, to being saved, to knowing him, to being welcomed as his child. There's something so incredibly powerful that changes, that shifts. He will change the way you look at life. He will change the way you think. He will change the way you act. Because you inside, there's a joy that bubbles over. Inside, there's a peace that the Bible calls, says, surpasses all understanding, that floods your heart and your mind, that no matter what you face, you have this assurance that I'm not alone, and I have a God who's walking with me, who loves me, who created this universe, and who can do all things. We were talking about this this week, about we took the youth to Star Wars on Friday, and the world has longed for a hero to come, and for superheroes to come and look to that symbol of a good person doing, you know, saving everyone from harm. And you know, the reason I think that that has always sold so well for years and years and years is because it's built in us that we need Jesus. Every person on this earth needs Jesus. And without him, we're always going to be looking for something. We're always going to be longing for something. And there's going to be an emptiness that is never filled until we have that relationship. So would you stand with me? I just want to give you the simple opportunity. I invite you to close your eyes, bow your heads. And I want to give you the simple opportunity this morning. You know, some of us have probably been in church even for a long, long time. And maybe you just have never made that full surrender, that full commitment in saying, Jesus, I want you. It's not about religion. It is about relationship. And if you don't have a relationship with him, there's no better time than right now to say, Jesus, I need you. And I accept you into my life. If you haven't had peace for a long time, if you haven't had joy for a long time, I want to propose to you that you probably haven't been looking at Jesus. Because the result, when we look in the Bible, the result is when you see Jesus, you're filled with peace, you're filled with joy, and you're filled with thanksgiving. And so if you were to do an honest assessment in your heart right now this morning and say, you know, am I stressed out and am I frustrated? Is there peace in my life? Is there joy in my home? And if that's not the case, then why don't we change that today? And so I just want to make a simple invitation this morning. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus, and you might even right now feel a tug in your heart going, yep, this is for me. If that's you, and you just say, I want to invite Jesus into my life. I want to have a relationship with him. I want to actually know him as a personal savior. I don't want religion. I don't want all that. I want Jesus for all that he came to do, for all that he came to be, for all that he promises for me in my life and in my heart. I want to submit and surrender to him. And I'd love if you just slip up your hand, and we want to pray with you after. We're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. We just want to celebrate and honor what God is doing. And we want to be able to encourage you and walk with you. And so if that's you this morning, if you feel that tugging your heart and you're like, yeah, you know what? My heart isn't right and I need him. I need a relationship with the King. I need a relationship with Jesus this morning. Then would you just slip up your hand? Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Awesome. Thank you, Lord. This is the best decision you're ever going to make in your life. You can talk a lot about it, but when you actually submit your heart and you say, Jesus, I want you, everything changes. So I'm by no means going to pressure anybody, but I just, if you're feeling in your heart, just one last chance. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I see your hands. Okay, anybody else? Anybody else this morning? So can we pray this together? Jesus, I submit to you. And I surrender my life and my heart. And I ask you to come and live in me. I want to make you king of my life. And I confess my sin and my mistakes, my shortcomings, and I give them to you. And I ask you, Jesus, to take them, to wash me clean, to call me one of your children, to adopt me into your family. I surrender to you in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for every single one of us today, God, that you would set us free from the sin and the shame and the guilt and the burdens that sometimes we try to carry that aren't ours to carry. And I ask that you, Lord, that we just place those at your feet today, and I ask that you would just completely set us free, Father. And I just want to ask for one more thing, and that's if anybody is here this morning, you just truly have really not felt joy in a long time, you have not been living or walking in peace this morning, I want to be able to pray for you too. And if that's you, why don't you slip up your hand, or we're going to open the altar in a moment. You can come and we'll pray for you. But I just feel this morning there's some people that really struggle with just having peace in your heart and in your mind and joy. You know, God wants us to have fun. God wants us to be full of joy. So if that's you, I want to pray for you. So would you just slip up your hand if that's you just struggling in that area, okay? Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. So Father, we just pray for your peace that surpasses all understanding to flood our hearts, to flood our minds. God, I pray that you'd help us to be full of the joy of the Lord that is our strength, to be full of your joy. I thank you, Jesus, that when we see you, when we realize the good news, that when we hear the gospel and know that we have been saved by your grace and by your goodness and by your kindness, God, that the result is joy. The result is thankfulness. The result is worship. And God, we worship you today because you are worthy to be praised. You're a good God. I thank you, Lord, it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. And I thank you, Lord, for your kindness. I thank you that you're so kind to us and so good to us. Father, that even when we were your enemy, that you died knowing, lovingly gave your life for us. You came to give your life for us, God, and I thank you for that. And Jesus, I pray that you would help us to remember the message that it's all about you, and it's all about knowing you, and it's all about walking with you. And I pray, Lord, that we would listen with our ears to hear your voice. Lord, in whatever way you want to speak to us, help us to recognize your voice, God, in everyday life. I thank you, Jesus, that you promised us that you're speaking to us, that your thoughts toward us are immeasurable, that God, that you are constantly talking and thinking about us, and we need to learn to listen, and I thank you that we can. I thank you, God, you've made us so we can. We can actually hear your voice every day. So, Lord, whether it's through dreams, whether it's through angels, whether it's through the prophetic, whether it's through the gifts, whether it's through your word, whether it's through just hearing your voice, God, I pray that we would learn to listen, we'd learn to hear, and we'd learn to do, just like Mary said, do what he says. God, may we do what you call us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Sir Pollock. There is lunch downstairs. Can I pray a blessing over it right now? Is that okay? Father, we just pray you bless this food that we're going to eat in a few minutes and all the hands that prepared it. And I pray your grace over the fellowship too in your name. Amen. If you would like prayer this morning, I just invite you to come and be happy to pray with you. Otherwise, God bless you. See you downstairs.
Peaceful wings on fire.